Okay, everybody. Yesterday, we were learning the sugya in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chafmer Aleph about the Maisa with Rabbi Gamliel and Yeshua. So let's look again on Chafei Amud Aleph on page 20. It says the Gemara of Od Bo Shnayim Va'omru Inu Bizmano Ubeleli Burol Ol Nireh. So they said they saw it, say Bizmano, on the night of Metzah from Rabbi Chanan, on the night of the 29th. But then the next night, the night of the 30th, going into the 30th, they didn't see it. So Kiblum Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel accepted it. He said they were good Edom, and therefore the 29th where, in other words, not the 29th, the night of the going into the 30th, they saw it. But then the next night, going into the 31st, so to speak, they didn't see it. So Rabbi Gamliel says, no, it's a Chodesh Chaser, and then Rosh Hashanah becomes, on day 30, is day 1. Even though the next night they didn't see it. And it's very strange. If you saw it the night, first night, then you should see it the second night, unless it's a cloudy day. But assuming that that wasn't the case, then it should be okay. V'kiblam Rabbi Gamliel. So Amar Dosa Ber Hurchanos Eidei Sheker Hein. He says, no, they're Eidei Sheker. Because Hech Me'idim Al Ha'isha Sheyolda U'lamacha Kresa Ben Shineha. That how could it be that you say a woman gave birth and the next day you see that she's still carrying? Kresa Ben Shineha is an expression. Her stomach is between her eyes, meaning that she's still pregnant. Amalar Rabbi Yeshua Ro'ani as Devarecha. So Rabbi Yeshua says, I agree that it shouldn't be good. Therefore, Rosh Chodesh is the day later. Not day 30, but day 31 is Rosh Chodesh, is day 1. Because it can't be that if you saw it the night of the 30, for sure you should see it the night of the 31st. Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel Gozvani Alecha Shatovo Etzli B'makracho Ba'osecho B'yom HaKippurim Shachal Yos B'chashbelcho. So he says that he's asking that you should come on the day that you hold as Yom Kippur. Rabbi Gamliel says, I want you to come with your weekday paraphernalia. Halach Matzor Rabbi Kiva Meitzah. So Rabbi Kiva saw that Rabbi Yeshua was very upset. Rabbi Yeshua was very upset. He's making me come on the day that I hold is Yom Kippur. Amalo Yeshli Lilmo Shakoma Sha'asa Rabbi Gamliel Osri. So he said that anything Rabbi Gamliel says is true. That's what Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Yeshua. Anything that he says is true. Shenema Eila Mode Hashem Mikrei Kodesh. Asher tikru osam. Beim bezmanam, beim shalo bezmanam. Because whatever it is, beim bezmanam, beim shalo bezmanam, whatever Bezdin called Rosh Chodesh, that's Rosh Chodesh. And we know the Gemara Rosh Hashanah has a drasha that he, because the word osam, asher tikru osam, is spelt without a vav. So we dashen osam to say atem afilu mazidim, atem afilu shogi. In other words, even if Bezdin you know, it's, you know, told, in other words, normally Beis Din can't lie, obviously. You can't, you know, that's the whole concept of a Beis Din is there. But the one area that they could rig the system is by Kiddush HaChodesh. And we learned it out from that word, Osam, which we dash in Atem. Atem. Whatever you declared. In other words, if Beis Din declares somebody owes somebody money and they don't, he doesn't owe money. It's a mistake. Like we said, it's not a psak. Psak is not binding if it's erroneous. You know, there's no concept. If somebody gave a psak and it's based on erroneous facts and the whole thing is a sheker, it's not a psak. It's not a psak. The one area that we say that a psak, an erroneous psak, is good is by Kiddush HaChodesh. That whatever the Beis Din decided to declare Chodesh, it was totally given up to the Beis Din. That's the word osam, which we darshan atem.
How does that work? If you're off for 1 month, then it'll reset. The next month, they'll just come beyond later or whatever. But I'm saying, if that happens for multiple months in a row, the moon cycle is not going to fit with. Because don't we either have 30 months either 29 days or 30 days? So I'm saying, if it happens too many times that they're off, the moon cycle won't fit within that spectrum. How many days a month should
be? I mean, if they need to recalculate the next month, they'll recalculate the next month to make it the way it should be.
No, I'm saying, but they have a month that was 31 days because they needed it to be 31 days because everything.
No, no, there's no such thing.
I'm saying
so they'll work it out.
So if you're off for 2 months in a row,
so you'll have to make it. You'll have to get back on track by shortening it, by maybe 2 months in a row the other way to balance it. You follow? So you'll apparently Rabbi Yeshua was not aware of this halacha, right? If Yeshua was aware of this halacha, then he wouldn't have been depressed. In other words, he was a little bit depressed that they were telling him that he has to come with his money belt on Yom Kippur, the day that he considered Yom Kippur, that he has to go walk in the street with his money belt. He was very depressed. And Rabbi Akiva gave him some chizik and told him, don't worry, don't be depressed. The pasuk says, "Elam Odei Hashem Mikrei Kodesh Asher Tikru Osam Beim Zmanim Beim Shalom Zmanim." Whatever you call it, it's not exactly the same drasha that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, of that they darshan Osam to be Atem, Atem Afilu Mezidin, Atem Afilu Shogigin, etc. Okay, so, but in the end, Rabbi Akiva on page 20, Rabbi Yeshua was depressed. You're telling me I have to mechal Yom Kippur? What I can say, because Rabbi Yeshua said the whole thing was a mistake. So what is wrong? So he's depressed. If you know something's wrong and somebody's telling you to do something that you know is wrong, you'll be upset. That somebody's telling me to do something that's not right, he'll be upset. So Rabbi Akiva gave him chizik. And here on page 20, the pasuk in Vayikra, Eila, right, we say this pasuk in Kiddush, right, on Yontif, in the daytime. Eila Mo'adei Hashem, where we say it in by Mariv, in the davening. Eila Mo'adei Hashem, Mikrei Kodesh, Shetigur Osama Mo'adam, Vayidaber Moshe Mo'adei Hashem, El Bnei Yisrael. Will we say that in Mariv, or will we say just Vaidaber? What? Just say Vaidaber. No, we do it by Kiddush, right? not by Mariv. But, so basically, the halacha is that anything that Beis Din does erroneously is not valid. If Beis Din gives a psak, like we saw Rabbi Chanan says, and the psak is based on erroneous information, it's not valid. There's only one area in halacha that the Torah gave full autonomy to the Beis Din, and that is Kiddush HaChodesh. That Beis Din has the right to decide we're going to make Rosh Chodesh early, you know, on day 30 to make it a chaser, or day 31 to make it a mole, for, you know, because there are different concerns. Like the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, there was a big concern that Yom Kippur and Shabbos should never fall out one day after the other. Because if, God forbid, somebody dies, then you can't bury somebody on Yom Kippur. You can't bury somebody on Shabbos. Because the halacha is that a person could get buried on Yontif. You can bury somebody on Yontif with a goy, Yontif Rishon and Yontif Shein, even though they're Yisrael. Even though today in most communities we're not knowing that, because we're afraid, the Rav Moshe has a tshuva, they're afraid that people are just going to do things that they're not supposed to do beyond the scope of the heter. Only in certain communities, like in Satmar. In Satmar, there was a case that happened, I remember several years ago, it was on Shavuos, that the Yontif candles got on fire and somebody got killed, and they on Yontif, and they did the kavura on Yontif. They did the kavura on Yontif. So you always have to be very careful with the Neir Shabbos, Neir Yontif. You know, you got to be very careful with fire. So Bizman Chazal, you know, they didn't have the refrigeration that we have today, right? So if somebody would die, God forbid, on Shabbos, and Yontif and Yom Kippur and Shabbos would be dated, that means 2 days he'd be laying there rotting, and that wouldn't be, so therefore Chazal never want that to happen. So therefore they'll rig the calendar to say we're going to push off Rosh Chodesh a day. So therefore Yom Kippur and Shabbos will be a day apart. It won't be back to back. So the Torah gave a total autonomy to the Beis Din, even if it's not within the reality of the situation. That's the only area. Any other area that Beis Din is not acting in total honesty, then it's not a psak. It's not binding. It's nothing. But the only area that they got this autonomy is in Kiddush HaChodesh. Yeah.
It seems like it has to be a cloudy day. Why would two witnesses come and say they saw a moon? And then, like, why would they lie about it? Because you get Yichayah Misa and you can testify false. Right?
Not about the moon. In other words, if you testify falsely, like Adam Zomim, like somebody is Chayav Misa, so then you get killed, unless you try to kill someone else. But the moon is not Chayav Misa for the moon.
I mean, why would two people just randomly lie and say
this? Why would two people randomly lie? Unfortunately, that's the world.
People, it sounds like Rabbi Yeshua was saying that they so that's why he's arguing.
I don't know why. So it could be these two people randomly lied, but it fit in well with the calendar. So Rabbi Gamliel decided, even though in the end it looks like they lied, because hey, they said they saw the moon. We already went to sleep, so we don't know if they saw the moon. But we knew the next night there was no moon. So if you'd be a betting person, you'd say they probably lied. And Rabbi Gamliel still said we'll accept it. And Rabbi Yeshua says, what are you doing? How are you accepting it? How do you accept it? I mean, obviously they lied. So, and Rabbi Gamliel knew that Rabbi Yeshua didn't accept his psak and was keeping Yom Kippur on a different day. So Rabbi Gamliel says, what are you talking about? You got to keep the system, you know, unified. So I want you're keeping Yom Kippur on a different day than the Sanhedrin Paskin. So I'm going to make you come to my house on your day that you think Yom Kippur is, with your money belt and this, and
isn't the problem that based on calendar
Yeah, but it's in the right season. Whatever we decide the day is, that's the day. If we decide Tezvav Tishrei is the day we decide, that's Tezvav Tishrei. Even though maybe if we wouldn't have decided, it would have come out a different day. But it was so that's and the Gemara learns it out from again the pasuk Elam Odei Hashem Mikray Kodesh Asher Tigru Osam, and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Darshan, since Osam is written without a vav, so we read it Atem. Atem afilu shogigim, Atem afilu mezidin, even if Bezdin made a mistake, or even if Bezdin purposely rigged the system, they still have the total autonomy to do so, because the Chazal gave over that area of halacha to Bezdin with total autonomy. No other area do they have such total autonomy. In other words, Bezdin, if Bezdin would lie about something, or even if they made a mistake, they made a mistake and they have to retract. There's no such thing that it's already done, fait accompli, that it's binding. It's not binding. It's a toast. If they give a psak and it's a wrong psak, then it's wrong. If it's a taka wrong. Whether it's even if a shogig. But by Kiddush HaChodesh, even by Mezid, Atem afilu shogim, Atem afilu mezidin. So that's what Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Yeshua. Cheer up, fellow, he said to Rabbi Yeshua. Cheer up. From Gamliel, even though you think he was wrong, but even if he's wrong, he's right. By Kiddush HaChodesh. And that's what he told him. So I guess he cheered up. And then,
If humans just come and they say that someone is high of Misa, and then they find out that they were false, then the person is no longer high of Misa. So would it be the same case if two witnesses testify there's a new moon, and then two witnesses the next day are testifying that there's no moon, I don't see any moon, and would that mean that the testimony in the first place was never a testimony? So now it was never Rosh Chodesh then?
Yeah, but Bezdin declared it Rosh Chodesh.
I'm saying it basically declares that someone's high of Misa, and they find out.
So I'm telling you that any other area of halacha, other than Kiddush HaChodesh, any erroneous psak is invalid. But Chazal gave total autonomy to the Bezdin when it comes to Rosh Chodesh to decide, because there are reasons why they have to, that certain days are not good to be Rosh Chodesh. Again, they don't want Yom Kippur and Shabbos to be back to back, because the mace or because the vegetables, the Gemara says, could rot. Because they don't have the modern technology we have today that you can just put somebody in the freezer for and the person won't. But when it comes to somebody Chayiv Misa, so that's it. If he's Chayiv Misa, and then they find out he's not Chayiv Misa, he's not Chayiv Misa. Don't say the psak is binding. The psak's not binding. Okay? Now, the Chidah on page 21. Asked the following question in the Sefer Pesach Einayim. So obviously, Rabbi Yeshua didn't know that drasha of Atem, right? So Chidah asked the following question. But didn't Rabbi Yeshua know the drasha of what? Yominu Smol. So even if you didn't know the drasha of Atem, but if you know the drasha Yominu Smol, that should what? Indicate that you have to listen to the Sanhedrin either way. So why was, in other words, the question is, the story in the Gemara was, once Rabbi Gamliel told Rabbi Yeshua to come, he got depressed, because he's telling me to come when I feel it's Yom Kippur. It's like somebody tells you, you got to eat on Yom Kippur. You'll be very upset. I'm going to eat on Yom Kippur, I'm going to do malach on Yom Kippur, you'll be very upset, right? So he was very upset, because he thought Rabbi Gamliel was in the wrong. And then Rabbi Akiva explained to him that no, that Rabbi Gamliel is in, even if he's in the wrong, he's still in the right, only in this area in halacha of Kiddush HaChodesh. So apparently the reason he was depressed is he didn't know that halacha of Osam Atem, that we dash in Osam Atem. He didn't know.
It doesn't seem like he accepted it.
One second. But, so the Chidah asked the Kasha, but didn't he know the din of Yom HaNusmol? Didn't he know the din of Yom HaNusmol? So if he knew the din of Yom HaNusmol, so maybe that should also have pacified him. And he shouldn't have been upset, because Yom HaNusmol seems to imply that there's total autonomy to rot the Sanhedrin. There's total autonomy. Even, you see, Yom HaNusmol means, again, that's the whole discussion we've been having, but if you assume, like what we saw in the Maral, and we saw yesterday in the Drosha Saran, that Yom HaNusmol means that Sanhedrin has total autonomy in all areas. In all areas. Right? So if Sanhedrin, so if you know the drasha of Yom HaNusmol, and that's probably was more of a, maybe that was more of a known drasha than the drasha of Osam Atem. So if you would have known that, so then Rabbi Gamliel would have told him that. So why is he upset? Everyone knows that if you can't argue with the Sanhedrin, you maybe can argue with some other Bezdin that's not the Sanhedrin, but Rabbi Gamliel was representing the Sanhedrin. He's part of the Sanhedrin. So the Chidah asked Akasha, granted that he didn't know the drasha of Osam to Minatem, but at least he should have known Yom HaNusmol. So why was he upset? So look inside. Halach Matzor Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Kiv Mitzai, Amalai Yishli Lilmo Shakol Masha Osam Rabbi Gamliel, Afal Gav Lav Drasha. Aval Gav, the Balav Drasha Datem Ksiv, Los Osso Yom HaNusmol. It was even without the Drasha of Atem, Osam, Atem. Right? Whatever drush you have, it's still, you should know that the din of the Sanhedrin is binding. So he says like this, of course Rabbi Yeshua knew the drasha of Yom HaNusmol. But it's like you saw in the Be'er Sheva. If Yom HaNusmol only means if I think they're mistaken, and they say against me, I have to listen. But if I know for sure they're mistaken, then you don't listen. So that's why he's upset, because he knew for sure they're mistaken. Because when Yeshua came out the next night, it was a clear night, and he looked all around, and there was no moon. So if there was no moon tonight, there was no moon yesterday either. So those people that came yesterday were probably frauds. And Rabbi Gamliel bought into it. And Rabbi Yeshua saying, it could be Rabbi Gamliel didn't check the next night. Rabbi Gamliel accepted the agent, and he didn't check the next night. But Rabbi Yeshua checked the next night, so he knew they were frauds. He knew the whole thing was a fraud. So he was upset. Are you supposed to listen to the best? So the drasha of Atem, he probably never heard until Rabbi Akiva told it to him, right? But Yom HaNusmol he did hear. But Yom HaNusmol doesn't apply like the Be'er Sheva said. If you know they're wrong. If you know they're wrong, it doesn't apply. It's only if you're not sure, like we saw the Malden yesterday. If you think, so then you gotta give the benefit of the doubt. That if you think you're right, but they say against you, so they're probably right at night. But if you know you're right, and here they knew they were right. Because they came out the next night and there was no moon. So that's it.
I know it wasn't like up to something. I was so sure.
An eclipse for how long?
When they were long? The Arf Num, how are they Bavadai sure?
No, so I'm telling you, it must have been that it wasn't a cloudy day.
Some astrological phenomenon.
Yeah, but how long does these?
What is it usually?
Well, so
how long does it last, right?
They sat there the whole night.
It could be. I don't know, whole night. Yeah, this is whole night. This year, Sukkot, right? There was something.
Yeah. That was the opposite, though.
That was the opposite.
Red moon.
A what?
It was a giant red moon.
Yeah. Giant red moon, yeah. Yeah, I saw it through the staff. Yeah. Okay, well, whatever. Everyone went out of the Sukkot to look at the. We were in a communal Sukkot in the Lower East Side, so everyone's like. Yeah.
Is it a matter of did not accept the opinion of Akiva? He went for a second opinion.
Yeah.
It gives a different answer. Why? We know he accepted one of the two subjects.
Yeah, okay.
But why are we assuming it was Rabbi Akiva as opposed to Rabbi Dosa, which seems more likely?
Okay.
Considering it happened.
Okay, whichever he accepted, but.
But the second opinion goes to everything, and that's part of that seems very close to him and small.
Yeah, okay, one second. So let's look inside. So he says like this. Look back in the Chidah. Third line. Avogav the blab drosha datem, even without the drosha datem, see lo sasu yominu small, one chazal of bishom real small yamin, ekomorim yoda bavade shatol, belisafek elo lalachas karem, shumhokim stayer of Yeshua. So that's why he was upset, because he knew the drasha of Yominu Small, and then he knew that the drasha of Yominu Small only applies if you're not sure. But if you for sure know that they're wrong, that doesn't apply. And he never heard of the drasha of Atem. So Mamela, that's why he was upset. That's the first teretz. Inami, the Moshakosa of Zerachia Levi Sefer Amor, the Gamliel Hikir B'Tauso, he calls it Lo Chazerbo. He says that the Gamliel realized that he was wrong. He realized that he was wrong. Because maybe he also went out the next night to check. So he realized he was wrong. But he didn't retract. He calls it Lo Chazerbo. Kumo. Ukumo hatsar Allah la Rabbi Yeshua da adshalohi ki betoso el zehaya daito tenach. Ukumo hatsar Allah la Rabbi Yeshua da adshalohi ki betoso el zehaya daito tenach. Havalahaki shato lahzi betos da
aka. In other words, you see the case with Kiddos says another that. The case was, no, that Rabbi Gamliel also came out that night. Rabbi Gamliel also was told, saw for himself that it wasn't true. And you know what Rabbi Gamliel did? Nothing. He kept the original psak. So that bothered what? Rabbi Yeshua. See, the first teretz is that Rabbi Gamliel didn't know the halacha, and I mean he didn't realize he made a mistake. Rabbi Yeshua realized he made a mistake, so he was upset that Rabbi Gamliel made a mistake and he didn't realize it. And al smol shel yamin doesn't apply because Rabbi Yeshua knew that it was a mistake. And then Rabbi Akiva told him, don't worry. Kiddush HaChodesh is different. The other teretz of the Chidah is that Rabbi Gamliel also realized he made a mistake, like Rabbi Meth said. He also realized he made a mistake. Meaning, he did come out the second night. And he did see there was no moon. But he didn't retract his opinion. So that bothered. So according to that, al yomim shu small. So according to that, when does yomim shu small apply? Could be yomim shu small always applies, but yomim shu small maybe applies even if you know they made a mistake, you still have to listen. But here, if the person who gave the psak realizes he made a mistake, then for sure he should change his mind. In other words, according to the first opinion in the Chidah, you don't have to listen to the Sanhedrin if you know for sure they're wrong. And here, Rabbi Yeshua knew for sure they're wrong. According to the second day, it could be, maybe Rabbi Meth was saying like this, even though you know for sure they're wrong, you still have to listen. But if the person who gave the psak realizes he's wrong, then he should be big enough to what? To say, I was wrong, I made a mistake. And he didn't. And that's what bothered Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva knew that he has to listen to Rabbi Yeshua. What bothered him, like Rabbi Meth said, it was psychologically, how could this person who knew he made a mistake not admit it? So what's the answer? The answer is because the one area in halacha where you don't have to worry about mistakes and you don't have to change your mind even if you know for sure you made a mistake is by Kiddush HaChodesh. And since it's Kiddush HaChodesh, you have a special Gzeiros HaKosov, so then you don't, and that's how they appeased him. So that's what he's saying. Then Gulliel Hikibito, so he calls Elo Chozabo. So if you hikir b'tahuso, so then for sure you should be chozebo, right? And according to the second day, it could be that if you weren't makir b'tahuso, then everyone still has to listen to you. That's also bullshit who you mean. But Rabbi Gamliel was makir. He came out the second night, and he still was shown that there was no moon, and he still didn't retract. So what's the answer? So they said, because it's Kiddush HaChodesh is different. That's the one area. That's the one area that the Torah allows something that's not 100% emes. And there's a reason for that. Because since the, every other area of halacha, you can't just fake things. You can't just be a fraud. People give a psak that's a fraud. That's not a psak. You can't say, oh, I rely on the psak. But it's a fraud. It's a fraud. So you can't rely on that. It's a fraud. But by Kiddush HaChodesh, that's the Gzeiros HaKosov, that Chazal gave total autonomy to this. So therefore he didn't realize that, Rabbi Yeshua. So therefore he was upset with Rabbi Gamliel that he came out also that night and he saw there was no moon. So obviously there was no moon the first night either, because you can't have a moon the first night and then disappear the second night if it's a clear day. So he was upset. There was, you see, Al Smol Shu Yamin, he would have accepted Al Smol Shu Yamin. He would have accepted that. But that's only if Bezdin has the psak and doesn't realize they're making a mistake. But here Rabbi Gamliel realized he made a mistake and still wasn't chozebo. That's why he was upset. And to that, Rabbi Akiva said to him, no, don't be upset, because even if Rabbi Gamliel made a psak and it was wrong and he knows it's wrong, he still doesn't have to be chozebo by Kiddush HaChodesh. And that's the... So it comes out... In other words, in the regular discussion of Yom Nusshol Shul Shmol, it could be that, like Rabbi Meth maybe said, that according to the second day, that you always have to listen to Bezdin if Bezdin thinks they're right. Now, yeah, Avi.
If two witnesses come and they say they saw a moon five days after everyone, and they randomly just come and they say it's the next one, so Bezdin has to listen to them.
Say they made, but they, by then they made Rosh Chodesh.
I'm saying, like, randomly in the middle of the month, next month, they're like, let's just make Rosh Chodesh. And they come and they testify, they saw the new moon, and they
want a new one. No, so Bezdin could send them home. Bezdin could say, we're not accepting you. Bezdin has the right to accept and reject and manipulate anything they want in Kiddush HaChodesh.
How did Rabbi Gamliel see the moon?
Not any other area. Just Kiddush HaChodesh.
So Rabbi Gamliel saw the moon, Rabbi Yeshua didn't see the moon.
When? Well, on the first night, maybe neither of them saw it. The Edom came. They were both home learning.
But I thought they could only accept the Edom if they see it also.
No, the Edom have to see it, and then they testified to the Beis Din.
So say if Edom testified randomly, they saw it, you would have known the next month.
If you see, but you can't see a new moon in the... And Beis Din could say, what are you talking about? We're not accepting you. They can decide to accept or reject anyone who they want when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh.
It sounds like if they accepted him, then they saw the moon also.
Yeah.
If Beis Din could do whatever they want, what's the point of
Edom? Still, you want to have it in the regular... You're saying, why don't they just decide on their own? Forget the... That's an excellent question. But that's part of the mitzvah of Kiddush Al Pi Riya, that you preferably want to do it Al Yidei Riya. But Beis Din could manipulate the Riya. Yeah.
This power on the basis, though, isn't it kind of limited? Just like one day before, one day after? I mean, they have a lot of autonomy here, but...
Right, in other words, what Yisrael Meir is saying is, if 10 days in the middle of the month they're saying there's a new moon, so that's, you know, I don't know, would Beis Din go ahead and say, okay, because it's already, a Chodesh has to be at least 29 days, 29 and a half days, so they can't, if so, it was already, in other words, what he's saying is that Beis Din's autonomy is also limited, because basically there are two possible candidates for Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh could either be on day 30 or day 31. Day 30 it'll be a Chodesh Chaser, and day 31 it'll be a Chodesh Moleh. But Beis Din can't decide, this month we want to be 36 days, and we won't accept any Edom until day 36. So that's what Rabbi Yisrael Meir is saying, that's not within the autonomy of Beis Din. The total autonomy is to decide whether it's Chodesh Moleh or Chaser, and they could say, even if the moon was there, right, they could say, we don't want to make it Rosh Chodesh today. Come back tomorrow. Right. Yeah. There he said. Right. So you're saying it's not only Rabbi Gamliel.
The thing that makes it more,
you know,
the Kiddush HaKodesh has a small Beis Din out of the bigger Beis Din. Right?
Right.
So Yeshua is not on the Beis Din. This doesn't work with the whole...
Right. Now the question is Rabbi Yeshua Zaken Mamre? For what?
Just clarify that.
Yes, he was up in memory?
He didn't do
what?
He didn't do what?
What day did you have Yeshua fast?
It's not the fast one, sir.
So he ate on Rabbi Gamliel's day?
Yeah, the third time. He's accepting Rabbi Gamliel's call on Yom Kippur.
When did he tell him to come? When did he tell him?
Was there any daraisa here? Was there any daraisa when Yeshua was over here?
Right. Why didn't he tell him, I want you to eat a sandwich today? That would have been better.
These are all
the rabbanans.
The only thing you could discuss possibly is carrying.
Carrying.
I'm not going to avoid that whole discussion once there's a daraisa.
Right.
If you hold the.
Why didn't Rabbi Gamliel tell him, I want you to eat in my house. I want you to come for a meal on the day that you hold as Yom Kippur and I hold as not.
No, don't feel like eating today. I'm entitled to not do that.
I don't feel like walking to your ex or walking up and saying
public statement.
Yeah.
Was
the idea is to do something public. And why did he make it? It was, you know, eating public.
So it's other derisive we could do. No one's a derisive that can be done in our, that the hard to do.
Right. I don't know. It's hard to know.
But the Mashmash here is that this is that Gamaliel is not retracted. It's not a matter of he would have retracted. There's a bezin attached to this.
Right.
It's not just,
okay, one last thing. I think after this, we're moving on from Yomin. I think we got through the Yomin of Small, and we'll go do other things. Let's just look at the Sefer Ikrim on page 8 and 9. So if you take a look on page 8 in the Sefer Ikrim, on the bottom line, Valzehu Sha'amru, page 8, last line, Valzehu Sha'amru Rabbeinu, the Gemara Gittin, Lo Koras HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris Im Yisrael Ela B'Shvil Torah Shebal Peh, that the covenant between Chalal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah Shabbal Peh V'zeh L'fi She'in Metzias L'Avonis HaTorah Shebichsav Eli'im Torah Shabbal Peh. Dr. Siva was used to say, you can't understand Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shabbal Peh. So, in other words, right, the Torah tells us so many things that are, like the Torah tells us, Totofos Beinecha. If you would just read a Chumash, you would never get tefillin from Totofos Beinecha. You would never know what that meant. So we have oral traditions of what it means. But then in the next paragraph on page 9, where I put the arrow, Ufish Efsha Sheipo Machlokis Ben Chachma Yisrael. Where it's, so if you have, like the Rambam says, there's a famous Rambam that says that, like, how do we know Esrog? Because we have a tradition that pre-Eitz Hadar is Esrog. But if we don't have a tradition, his kima chokhma alukis kadesh de torah so shem is barach tamima salaka machloka suba masha efshar. In other words, so what we have to do is have a way of deciding what, say this is machlokas, what the Torah means about something. So the chachra, shenitir chachra b'chol dor v'dor l'rov hachachom v'omro achrei rabim l'hatos. Whereas you have to decide what most chachamim think is the correct interpretation. Now, Pashas, it means when there was a Sanhedrin. Let's say we have a question. What does the Torah mean when it says Pri Eitz Hadar? Does it mean Esrog? Does it mean something else? So we're not sure. So we go to the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin to vote. How do you understand this pasuk? And whatever the Sanhedrin says, that's what we follow. And he says, and Bir Rav Sein, Afil Yom Melachal Yomim Shu Smol Vol Smol Shu Yimin Shmala. And next paragraph, Al Tia Hachrab Mitzura Tomit Al Rov Hachacham. Fa'afim Efsha Shiyem Hayachid Yosef Chacham Mikol Achanem. Say there's somebody in the Sanhedrin who's known to be a bigger Talmud Chacham than the others. And he's on the other side of the vote. You don't listen to him. You follow the Rov. Even if the Miyad has somebody on it who's, say, significantly greater, you don't follow. You follow. Now, the question is, when do we have a concept of Rov? You know, we're going to have a packet about this. You know, the Shulchan Aruch was based on the Shulchan Aruch itself, when it first came out, was not everyone accepted. Like, say, like, who is this person in deciding that, oh, this is it? And there were a lot of Rabbanim who opposed the Shulchan Aruch, like the Marshal didn't like the concept of Shulchan Aruch. They felt that if you want to come with a Pesach Halacha, so write it down and keep it for yourself. That's how some felt. Don't publish it and say, oh, you got to follow, this is it. You got to follow. And how did he come to it? So the Beis Yosef himself says he chose only three Rishonim: Rambam, Rif, Rush. Three Rishonim, and based on those three, he decided on the halachas. And the Ramah says, well, I don't understand. There's the Mordechai, and then there's the Rabbi Nathan. Yes, just these three? So, in other words, he's clearly not following Rov. He's making his own Rov of these three. But that's not the Rov. So we'll see. Rav Avadi Yosef writes, but there's no concept of Rov when they all didn't meet together as a Bezdin. In other words, you don't say that's... In other words, even though we know that if you look at the various Svarim, you'll see that more Rishonim say against the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh. I can have you 10 Rishonim say otherwise. That's still not a din of Rov, because they didn't meet together and discuss.
And the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh met together?
No. No, they didn't. But they didn't meet. So therefore, that's... So the Ramah says that he doesn't think it's right to limit it to three Rishonim. And for some reason, the Beis Yosef, she did it, that these are the only three Rishonim that we take into account.
Beis Yosef quotes other Rishonim.
Right. Sometimes...
The other things don't make it to Shulchan Aruch, but they're all quoted in Beis Yosef.
Right, but in the Pesach Halacha... Now, sometimes you'll have a situation where the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh, but he'll paskin like some other shita, and that's the question is why he did that. But that's what he writes. And the Ramah felt it's not right to do it that way. Because they both agreed that you could have a Shulchan Aruch like this. But not everyone agrees that had a... Some say you should never have a Shulchan Aruch. Everyone should learn on their own and come to their own conclusion, any Talmud Chacham. I mean, the Rugged Shavar, you know, he was the big Gaon, and the Rugged Shavar didn't include the Shulchan Aruch in his Pesach Halacha.
He never quotes the Shulchan Aruch in any tshuva that he's ever written. He just learns the sugya with Rashi, Tosis, and everyone up to the Rambam and the Nosei Kalev, and then he comes to his own conclusion. Okay, so now we're going to have a separate packet on that. Why did he decide those three?
In general, what's considered the
right, what carries? So he decided only these three should be counted. And even that is not so simple. And why? What's so special about these three? Now we have to see. But the Sefer Yireim is saying is that it's all totally on Rov. Yeah, look at the last paragraph, page 9. About the Yach Rav Mesur Tomid al Rov Achachom. Afi Mefshe Shiha Yochid Yosef Chacham Mikol Echad Mehem. Yeah, Yosef Maskim El Emes Mikulam. Whereas it could be that there's one person who's smarter and a bigger Talmud Chacham, but if he's in the minority, we don't pass to him. Eina Yochid Rashi Lachlach 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 That's another Gemara, another Rabbi Yeshua case. That's the famous sugya of Tanur Shalachnoi. You have a certain Tanur, it's a question whether it was in the Tabal Tuba or not. The Apple Pisha Rabbi Elezer, Abutla, Kuchachim, Yosef Kulam, and Shiotza Basma, Omar, Malachim, Eitzel, Rabbi Elezer, Shalach, Tumos, and Chomokom, Omar, Rabbi Yeshua, Al-Radab, Omar, Lomo, Shemayim. There was a question of whether something was Mekabel Tuba or not. And there was a Machlokas, Rabbi Lezer, and the others. And Rabbi Lezer was greater than the others. And Rabbi Yeshua says it doesn't matter. The Torah says you follow Rov. Achri Rabbi Mahatos. Maybe which case came first then?
Rosh Hashanah
came first.
If Rosh Hashanah came first,
then it works out well. Rosh Hashanah came back first, and then he learned that you follow the best.
Beyond Rosh Hashanah.
Well, that's only. Yeah, but the Rosh Chodesh case is only because he knew that he made a mistake. But here, it's a machloikas. He holds him. Right, but that doesn't necessarily count. Right, but that's what he's saying, that in other words, the system is, yeah, look on page 10 on the top. You see, you can't have a system by saying that we're going to go by this person is greater, so he has more authority, at least in the Sanhedrin. Because then you uproot the whole process. So the only fair, it was really, we should say, who's more emes? That should be the key, right? Who's more emes? Who's bigger? Who's greater? Who understands more? And we should follow him. But then it'll be too subjective. You understand? It'll be too subjective. So this way, in other words, obviously, the people that are on the Sanhedrin, the people in the Sanhedrin are what? are all big Talmid HaKham, whereas you can't be on the Sanhedrin. But there might be still some people that are bigger than others, but that can't carry more weight, because then we'll never have a solid way of codifying Allah. So therefore, you always have to follow Rav. You always follow Rav, and that's it. Okay, so Rav said, let me just review just a couple of things that we talked about. Basically, we finished the sugya of Yom and Usmol. So just to review, we had two statements. The statement of the Sifrei, Afil Yom and Usmol, Usmol Shul Yom, you have to listen. And then we had the statement of the Yerushalmi, that you only listen on Yom and Usmol Shul Usmol. And it seems to contradict. So we saw the Be'er Sheva says it depends, and then we saw the same thing in the Chidah, that if you're not sure, then you have to listen to the Beis Din. But if you're sure, then you don't listen to the Beis Din. Right? That we saw in the Be'er Sheva, and we saw that in the Chidah, and the Yad HaMelech we didn't see inside, but it's in the packet as well. And then we have other shitas that say no, that you always have to listen to the Beis Din, the Maral, the Drosh HaSaran. You always have to listen to the Beis Din. You always have to mevatel your das to the Beis Din. And then we had the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvahs that says it depends. Before you speak to them, then you don't have to listen to them, because maybe you have a piece of information that will make their psak erroneous. But once you spoke to them and they still didn't accept, so then you have, and they listened to what you had to say and they explained to you why you're mistaken, then you have to listen to the Beis Din. And then we saw the Taz in the Divrei David that says it depends on whether you're doing something. In other words, you never have to listen to the Beis Din if you think they're wrong, but you can't do anything befarhesia against them. Like you can't what? You can't, well, you can do an action, I shouldn't say an action against them. So you can't give a psak against them, or you can't eat something that you, that they say is straight and you think is kosher. And then we saw Rav Shlomo Kluger that says, so what's the concept of Zokeh Mamre? He goes against the Beis Din. So the answer is, but he thinks he's right. So Rabbi Klapper's uncle wrote an article saying, oh, he's a Gibor HaMasorah. But we assume not. He's not a Gibor HaMasorah. He's a Chayte. He's not a Gibor HaMasorah. He's a Chayte. In other words, if you have to listen to the Beis Din, even if you, in the end of the day you still think you're right, but you can't paskin against the Sanhedrin. And that's the Chiddush HaTorah of Zokeh Mamre. And the Sefer Chinuch says, because even if maybe in this case you're wrong, and the Sanhedrin's wrong and this guy was right, but you can't say that. Because Lamaisa, better that we mess up one case than have the whole Torah being a hefker. That's what the Sefer Chinuch says. And the whole Torah will be a hefker if you just say that everyone can do what they think is right. And then we're going to have to get. But you have to realize that the whole discussion we've had till now is about the Sanhedrin. And basically, it comes down to. And then we also, there was Rav Chan had a different pshat of that maybe the whole din of Yom Yisroel is small. Rav Shechter likes to say over this pshat, but I don't think it's the simple pshat. That Yom Yisroel is only going on not blowing shofar, Rosh Hashanah, Shechal, Yom Yisroel, Shabbos.
and that's it, but it's not going on anything else. It's hard to believe that that's the pshat in the sifrei. Discussion about that. One of the scholars wanted to say that there was a time that the Sanhedrin had people that weren't so.
The Gemara says, "Vayshmar Mashiach."
That
he kept on. He got rid of all the. He got stuck them all because he asked a question that didn't know. And kept on replacing them.
You know the story Rabbi Kendall said over. I remember the Levaya of Moshe Feinstein. This was on Tainus Esther, what year, 85, 86. So we were all fasting, it was Tainus Esther, the big Levaya on the Lower East Side. But the story he said over, Rabbi Yashiv thought the story is problematic, but this is the story he said over.
Who said the story?
What?
Who said the story?
Rabbi Kendall said it at the Levaya of Moshe Feinstein. This is the story he said. I was there. This is what he said. He said that they were going to put in a pacemaker into Rav Moshe. And he was asking like a lot of details to find out about what is the pacemaker all about, what is going to exactly be done. And so they were asking, why are you so concerned about that? So he said, because he's hoping that to live to the time of Mashiach, and he's hoping that maybe he'll see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and maybe he'll live that there is a Bia Sanhedrin, and maybe they'll pick him to be one of the 70 people in the Sanhedrin, and if you're a Balmum, you can't be on the Sanhedrin. So he wanted to know whether this would make him that was the story. But they say that Rav Yashiv said he can't believe the story because he's already a Zakin, and the Zakin can't be in the Sanhedrin anyway, and something like that. So it was a question about the story. You should ask Rabbi Kendler. You have to invite him back for another receiver. But he told over that story in the. Most of the Hespedim were in Yiddish, but Rabbi Tendler spoke in English. He spoke about Rav Moshe's psak about the conservative reform marriages are not valid. So therefore, anyone who got married without a get afterwards, the kids won't be mamzerim. So with that psak, he saved all these mamzerim. Discuss that. Rav David Lifshitz from our yeshiva. That was your father's Masada Kedushin. I was at the wedding. And Rav Nissen Alpert also from. Well, you had a big representation. Rav Nissen Alpert was his Talmud, he spoke. And Rav Ruderman spoke. And the Satmar Rebbe spoke. What? Yeah, Satmar Rebbe spoke. The Berach Moshe. Well, I put him in the packet. Berach Moshe. The Berach Moshe spoke. And not Rav Yol. Rav Yol passed away before. But the Berach Moshe spoke, yeah. He spoke. And Rav Yaakov Yafin spoke. You probably never heard of him. But he's a big Talmud Chacham. He's Rabbi Mordechai Tendler's father-in-law. He spoke. Rav Ruderman spoke. And Rav Reuven Feinstein spoke. But David Feinstein didn't speak. He doesn't speak so much publicly. So he gives a shiur, but not so much. Except one time he spoke here in the auditorium, but it's a different thing. But that was the And then they flew him to Eretz Yisrael. And then there was a whole thing that in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is that you don't have a levaya, you don't wait with levayas. It's not like in America, somebody passes away in the middle of the night, you don't have to levaya in the middle of the night, you wait till the next day. In Eretz Yisrael, somebody has from dies, they're buried within an hour, in the middle of the night. So the question was, so many people at the levaya, that maybe it's not so, and the plane was supposed to arrive at nighttime, so maybe that would be a sakana to have the levaya in the middle of the night. Just like it just happened last year, Rav Vosna passed away, and then one or two people got killed at his levaya, because there's so many people there crushing and smushing, so it was the focus of Shach and Shlomo Zalman Orbach what to do. But what happened was the plane took off, and then they saw there was a problem with the plane. They had to re-land. And so the whole thing got pushed off. And then they took off again, and by the time they arrived, it was daytime. So that's what Rav Dovid Feinstein said. It was a focus of Shach, and then Shlomo Zalman, and Rav Moshe was not Korean. But that's what happened. So it was all in the daytime, so the whole question became irrelevant.
Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll start a new thing.